Rachel, you
Okay.
want to say hello?
Hi, everyone.
Okay, welcome. So since you have this schut of being the only person on today's program who has not spoken for Torah in Motion before, so we'll give you a little bit of an introduction only. Everybody else will know, but really a pleasure to welcome you, I guess, from Efrat. Now, right, you're speaking from Efrat. And
I'm currently in Jerusalem, physically,
okay, but
but
you live
from
in
Efrat in
Efrat.
general.
You
Yes.
live, it's nearby, okay. Rachel is a graduate of Stern College, the GPATS program, Yoatzot Halacha, and the Lindenbaum program. You're teaching at Lindenbaum, and it's a pleasure to welcome you. You can go 3 minutes overtime, 4 minutes overtime. We'll give you the full half an hour if you need it. So, okay. Bakasha, the missing
Okay.
date of Shavuot, then let's get started.
Thank you. Yeah, 30 minutes was already like a tight time frame. So we'll see what we can get done in that amount of time. I really have three goals, and we'll see how many of them we accomplish. The first one is to convince you that there is something strange about the holiday of Shavuot. The second one is to convince you that this is not a coincidence, that it's on purpose, that there's something strange about the holiday of Shavuot. And then the third thing is to try to convince you of what I think is the reason for there being something strange about Shavuot. But even if we just get the first one or the first two, that will be successful in my mind, and hopefully it will give us something to think about as we lead up to the holiday next week, and something to continue thinking about sort of over the course of the next week as we note some of the features of the holiday or features that are missing. The sources are in the chat, and I will attempt to occasionally peek at the chat for questions, but I'm about to share my screen so that you can see the sources up on the screen as well. So I'm just going to do that. Okay, so the first thing, really what we want to talk about is, when is the holiday of Shavuot? When does the holiday take place? So what we normally would do is we would go to Parshat Emor in Sefer Vayikra, to what we call Parshat HaMoadot, the section that lists the dates of all of the holidays in the Torah. And so if you look in source number one, you'll see I just brought a selection of psukim. B'chodesh harishon b'arba'asar l'chodesh ben harbaim pesach l'Hashem. The first month, which is Nisan, on the 14th day, that's when Pesach is. Then skip to pasuk chaf dalet. Daber al b'nei Yisrael le'mor b'chodesh hashvi'i b'echad l'chodesh yelachem shabbaton zichron shra mikra kodesh. On the first of the seventh month, there will be a holiday that will be a remembrance of blowing. That's the holiday that we call Rosh Hashanah. Next pasuk, pasuk chav zayin, ach be'esor lachodesh hashvi hazeh yom hakipurim hu mikra kodesh. The 10th day of the month of Tishrei, that is the holiday of Yom Kippur. Pasuk lamed dalet, you can tell where we're going with this. Daber el b'nei Yisrael le'mor b'chamisha asar yom lachodesh hashvi hazeh chag hasukot. On the 15th day of the seventh month, which is Tishrei, that is the holiday of Sukkot. Okay, so we covered Rosh Hashanah. We covered Yom Kippur. We covered Sukkot. We covered Pesach. What about Shavuot? What's the date of Shavuot? So here we note something strange. If you go back, we have Pasuk Hey, right, which tells us the 14th day, that's when we bring Korban Pesach. Pasuk Vav, on the 15th day of the month, it will be, that's when really Pesach starts, and 7 days we eat matzot. Then, skip to Pasuk 15, Tevav, again, I didn't bring the whole parak. Usfartem lachan mimocharat ha-Shabbat, and you shall count for yourselves from the day after the Shabbat, which we understand to mean from the first day of Pesach, miyom ha-Viachem et Omer ha-Tznufa, from the day that you bring the sacrifice of the Omer, sheva Shabbatot tmimot tiyena, you should count 7 full weeks. Ad mimacharat Shabbat ha-Shvi, tisperu chamishim yom, v'yikravtem mincha chadasha la-Hashem. And then the day after the 49 days of the 7 perfect weeks, that will be the 50th day, and you shall bring a new sacrifice before God, a new mincha offering. Ukratem be'etzem hayom hazem mikra kodesh yelachem, kom lachar avodah lo tasu chukat olam b'chol moshevotechem l'dorotechem. And that day shall be mikra kodesh, that day shall be holy, that day shall be special. You shall not do any work. That's the day that we call Shavuos. Shavuot. Chazal call it Atzeret. What's missing? The date. We don't have the date. The date of Shavuot is not listed in the Torah. Now, we talk about holidays in a bunch of different places. We never find out the date of Shavuot explicitly. And in fact, for a long time, there was no date of Shavuot. Because if you scroll down, we're just going to move a little bit forward in the source sheet. Don't worry, we'll come back to all this fun stuff. If you look at source number 6, which is a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Gemara says, "Kiditani Rav Shmaya atzeret pa'amim chamisha, pa'amim shisha, pa'amim shiva." Rav Shmaya taught that the holiday of atzeret, which is what we call Shavuot, sometimes it's on the 5th of the month, sometimes it's on the 6th of the month, sometimes it's on the 7th of the month being Sivan, by the way. So Shavuot apparently does not have a set date. Now, we do have a set date for Shavuot. If you're starting to get nervous that maybe you got the date of Shavuot wrong, no. You don't have to worry, because since we've had a set calendar, since the Jewish calendar became set and wasn't based on seeing the full moon every month and declaring when Rosh Chodesh was, we've decided when is Shavuot. Shavuot is the 6th of Sivan. We take sort of the average of the dates. Okay, it's not based on whether a month has 29 days or 30 days. The 6th of Sivan is the date of Shavuot. So I hope I've already shown you that there's something very strange about Shavuot, right? We don't know when it is. We figured out when it is. How do we figure out when it is? We count 50 days from the second day of Pesach, right? The Torah told us how to get to the date. We count, but it didn't tell us what the date is. That's the first thing that's weird about Shavuot, that the Torah never tells us what the date is. There's a second thing that's weird about Shavuot that's only weird once you know it. What do I mean by that? Well, everybody knows what we celebrate on Shavuot, right? What do we celebrate on Shavuot? We celebrate cheesecake. No, cheesecake is sort of a side point. We celebrate the giving of the Torah, right? In davening, we say Shavuot is Zman Matan Toratenu. It is the day that we receive the Torah, just like Pesach is Zman Chirutenu, the day of our freedom, right? So Shavuot is the day that we got the Torah. How do we know that the Jews left Mitzrayim on Pesach? Because it tells us that the Jews left Mitzrayim on the 15th of Nisan. How do we know that the Jews got the Torah on the 6th of Sivan? Well, we don't really. What do we mean we don't really? How is this possible? Yes, somebody corrected me in the chat, of course, that what we're looking for to establish Rosh Chodesh is the new moon, not the full moon. Thank you. Thank you, Judy Landau. That's, of course, correct. So how do we know that the Jews got the Torah on the 6th of Sivan? We don't. Okay, now I'll try to prove to you that maybe this is true. But in fact, the Torah does not tell us when we got the Torah. And once again, I want to show you that this is strange. And I want to convince you that this is on purpose. Now, you might say, you're telling me that we don't know when Shavuot is, and you're telling me we don't know when the Jews got the Torah. Maybe they didn't happen on the same day. Maybe it's not the same holiday. Maybe somebody just put them together. Now this is actually a very good question, and there's a separate shir, which is not the shir that we're giving right now, which is about what are the earliest sources that show that we put together the holiday of Shavuot and the holiday of the giving of the Torah. There is actually really only one Gemara, only one source from the Amoraic period, which says this explicitly, which again is very interesting and for another shir, which is source number 2, where there's a discussion about whether it would be appropriate to spend all day of Shavuot in prayer and in Torah learning. And the Gemara says something counterintuitive. Source number 2, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Hakol Modim Ba'atzeret, Deba'ina Nami Lachem. Rabbi Elazar says, everybody agrees that on Shavuot, you need to spend some time doing like physical enjoyment, having a nice meal, taking a nap. My time, why? Yom Shenitna Bo Torahu. Because it's the day that the Torah was given. Again, this is counterintuitive. There seems to be some idea here that God gave us the Torah and therefore we need to sort of celebrate it, not just by learning the Torah. But this is actually the earliest source available that connects the holiday of Shavuot as the day that the Torah was given. There is no explicit source. And again, This plays into what I'm trying to convince you of, which is that there is something mysterious going on with the date of Shavuot. It sounds like a conspiracy theory, but that's actually what it is. There's a conspiracy theory here to hide the date of Shavuot from us and to hide the date of Matan Torah. How do I know that they're trying to hide the date of Matan Torah from us? Well, let's look at the story of the Jewish people receiving the Torah, because I've learned many different chapters of the Torah before. And sometimes the story is clear what's going on. Sometimes it's not always so clear. But there are very few moments in the Torah where I've read something and said, this is confusing on purpose. It's not that I don't understand what's going on. It's that this is confusing on purpose. How do I know? So let's look together at the beginning of Perek Yud Tet of Sefer Shemot. We're in source number 3. It's a whole chunk. It's the beginning of the Jewish people arriving at Har Sinai to receive the Torah. It starts like this. We won't read the whole thing. B'chodesh HaShlishi, Letzeit B'nei Yisrael Me'eretz Mitzrayim. In the third month from when the Jewish people left Egypt, Bayom Hazeh Ba'u Midbar Sinai. On this day, they arrived in the Sinai desert. What day? What do you mean on this day they arrived? There is something already jumping out at us that on the one hand, we have information being provided to us. And on the other hand, there is something that's being hidden from us. And in a couple of minutes, we'll look at how Rashi interprets this pasuk. But just imagine, right, that you have a story that opens with, on the one hand, like a general sense of sense at all. Now let's see what happens. So they get to Midbar Sinai. How do they get there? Vayisu miRefidim vayavo Midbar Sinai vayachanu baMidbar vayichan sham Yisrael neged hahar. They traveled from Refidim. They came to the desert of Sinai. They camped in the desert, and the people camped opposite the mountain. There's already a mountain there, important mountain. UMoshe ala el haElokim. Moshe goes up clearly onto the mountain to God. Vayikrai lav Hashem min hahar lemor ko tamar leVeit Yaakov v'tagid libnei Yisrael. So Moshe goes up, then God calls to him and says, this is what you should tell the Jewish people. There's a lot of flowery language in here. It's really quite beautiful. God sort of introducing himself to the Jewish people. We're not really paying much attention to that, but it's beautiful. So he says, Atem ri'item asher asiti l'mitzrayim v'asatchem al kanfei nesharim v'avietchem elai. You have seen what I did to Egypt, and I've carried you on the wings of eagles, and I brought you to me. V'atayim shama tishmu b'koli u'shmartem ebriti v'ayitem li sugula mikol ha'amim ki li kol ha'aretz. And now if you shall listen to my voice and you shall keep my covenant, then you shall be a special nation for me amongst all the nations, because the land is mine. V'atem tiyuli mamlechet kohanim v'goy kadosh. And you shall be for me a kingdom of kohanim and a holy nation. Eila hadvarim asher tedaber al b'nei Yisrael. This is what I want you to tell the people. Okay, so b'nei Yisrael get to Midbar. His travels. He knows he has to go up on the mountain. God introduces himself. God introduces himself to Moshe, and he says, are you guys willing to be my nation? Okay? Do you want to be my people? Go ask the Jews. Vayavo Moshe, vayikra l'ziknei ha'am, vayasem l'fneim et kol ha'dvarim ha'el asher tzivahu Hashem. So Moshe was up on the mountain. He goes down the mountain, right? And he calls the elders, and he tells them what God said. Vaya'anu kol ha'am yachdav vayomru, kol asher diber Hashem na'aseh. And the people, right, it goes from the elders to all the people, and all the people say, whatever God wants, that's what we'll do. Vayashev Moshe et divrei ha'am el Hashem. And so Moshe goes back up the mountain to tell God what the people said. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, hine anochi ba'ilecha ba'av ha'anan, ba'avur yishma ha'am b'dabri imach, v'gam b'cha ya'aminu lo'olam. So God says to Moshe, okay, I'm going to come talk to you in a cloud so that everybody will hear when I talk to you, and then they will all believe in you because they'll know that you can. Vayaged Moshe divrei ha'am el Hashem. And then Moshe tells God something that the people said, which is weird because we didn't hear anything that the people said. So that's like a big question mark. And then God talks back. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, lech el ha'am v'kidashtem hayomu machar v'chibsu sivnotam. Hashem says to Moshe, go to the people, Tell them to wash up, wash their clothing today and tomorrow, make themselves holy. And be ready for the third day, because on the third day, God's going to come onto the mountain and talk. Okay? And then it continues, also make sure to put up a fence so that nobody comes onto the mountain. Okay? And then Pasuk Yudalid, Vayered Moshe min Hahar al Ha'am. Okay, Moshe goes down from the mountain, talks to the people, makes them wash their clothes. Vayomer al Ha'am hayunachonim l'shloshet yamin. Then Moshe says, be ready for 3 days. And then Pasuk Tetzayin, Vayhi bayom ha'shlishi biyot ha'boker, God shows up on the third day. Okay, I don't know if you've been trying to keep track, but I've gone through this multiple times, and I cannot figure out how many days this story takes place. How many times does Moshe go up and down the mountain? Each time he goes up and down the mountain, is this like a 15-minute walk? Is this like an hours-long hike? He's going back and forth carrying messages. How long does this take? It feels like we get so much information, and we keep hearing they came on this day and then be ready for 3 days. But at the end, I have no idea what is the calendar date on the third day. Now, maybe some of you think that you can figure this out. I cannot figure out how much time this took. Okay. Now, where does the complication show up? So part of the complication shows up in the question of when it says that Moshe spoke back to God what the nation said, and we hadn't heard what the nation had said. In fact, that adds a layer of complication. And if we had more time, we would look at Rashi, where Rashi explains that this is where the Jewish people said, God, we want to see you face to face directly. We don't want to see you through Moshe. We don't want to see you through a cloud. We want to talk face to face. Ritzoneinu lirodat malkeinu. We want to see our God. And Moshe had to negotiate that back and forth. That's how Rashi understands it. Many understand it that way. But the point that's interesting to me is that, we hear over and over how long this is going to take. And
everybody has her frozen, right? It's not just me.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Well, wait a minute. Okay, and I'll tell her when she, hopefully she'll come back in a sec. Let me at least write her. I'm assuming she got kicked off and she'll be back in a minute. So apologize for that, but as you know, I don't control these things. You know, I do what I can, but we do a pretty good job, but I can't control everything.
It's been great, Rabbi Jay. It's been okay. Super.
Thank you. Thank you. If need be, I have a backup oratory, you know, I can always throw up there, but okay. But that's all right. Benny should be okay. Hopefully, she'll be back in a minute.
I should give you credit. You did a great job on that link the other day after I told you about it.
About the rain?
The link.
Oh, the
remember,
rain?
Remember the broken link? You had
it. Oh, the broken link. Yeah. I don't know how that happened, but thank God that got fixed. Yeah. The people had to put in the passcode to enter for a few days, but we fixed that.
Hi, all. Apologies.
Yeah. Okay. You were frozen for about a minute and a half. I don't know what that, want to go back. You know how long it took.
Okay. I'm back.
Yeah. Okay. So go.
I apologize. Okay. So, I'm not sure what we missed. So very, very quickly, the rabbis of the Talmud were not sure when the Torah was given either. Okay. I said that I couldn't figure it out. They couldn't figure it out either. They had a slightly different issue. Let's look at it together. We won't read this whole long chunk of text, and we'll read some of it. Tanu Rabbanan, source number 5. Bishishi b'chodesh nitnu aseret hadibrot li Yisrael. Rabbi Yosi omer b'shiv abo. The rabbis debated. The rabbis as a group said that the Torah was given on the 6th of Sivan. Rabbi Yossi says it was the 7th of Sivan. Amar Rabbah. So Rava and Amora tries to explain the Tanaitic debate. Jekule Alma Barosh Chodesh Atu Limidbar Sinai. Rava says they all agree that the Jewish people arrived in the Sinai desert on Rosh Chodesh Sivan. How do they know? K'tiv hacha bayom hazeh ba'omidbar Sinai. K'tiv hatam ha'chodesh hazeh lachem Rosh Chodeshim. It says when they come to the Sinai desert, bayom hazeh, on this day. And it says, ha'chodesh hazeh lachem, this day shall be for you Rosh Chodesh. Malahalan Rosh Chodesh afkan Rosh Chodesh. When one says zeh, it's Rosh Chodesh. The other one says zeh, it's also Rosh Chodesh. Vitikule alma b'shabbat nitna Torah l'Yisrael. And they agree, everybody agrees, that the Torah was given on Shabbat. Interestingly. Skip to the next line, the very end. Ki pligi b'kviya diyarcha. Their debate is, what day was Rosh Chodesh when they arrived? Rabbi Yossi savar b'chad b'shaba ikva yarcha. Okay, Rabbi Yossi thinks as follows. It was Rosh Chodesh on Sunday. U'bechad b'shaba lo amar lehu v'lo midei mishim chulsha d'orcha. God did not speak to Moshe on Sunday because they were tired from traveling. Bitrei b'shaba amar lehu v'atem tiuli mamlechet kohanim. On Monday, God said to Moshe that you can be my nation. Would you guys like to? Bitzlata amar lehu mitzvat hagbala. And on Tuesday, he told him the rules of separating, like blocking off the mountain and preparing for receiving the Torah. Barba, avud prisha, and on Wednesday, that was when they, the men and women separated from each other and they began to spiritually prepare for Matan Torah. V'rabbanan savrei, the rabbis disagree and they say, betrei b'shaba ikva yarcha, betrei b'shaba lo amar lehu v'lo midi mishim chulsha d'orcha. The Jewish people arrived on Rosh Chodesh on Monday. God didn't speak to Moshe on Monday because he was tired from traveling. Bitzlata amar lehu v'atem tu li, barba amar lehu mitzvat hagbala b'chamisha avud prisha. And then on Tuesday, he said, you'll be my nation. On Wednesday, he said, block off the mountain. On Thursday, that was when they did prisha. Okay, so if you look at the chart, you can see how this works out, right? Rabbi Yossi's chart has Bnei Yisrael arriving on Rosh Chodesh on Sunday, and then Matan Torah is on Zayin Sivan on Shabbat. And the Chachamim, the Rabbanan, their position is that the Jewish people arrived on Monday, and then they received the Torah on Shabbat, which was the 6th of Sivan. What's the difference? The difference is whether there were 3 days of separation or 2 days of separation. The part of the Gemara that we're skipping, but that's very, very cool, is that there's Rabbi Yossi thinks that while God only told Moshe that the Jews needed 2 days of preparation for Matan Torah, Moshe decided to add a third day. Okay, Moshe decided to add a third day. And then what's really cool is the Gemara says God agreed with Moshe. How do we know that God agreed with Moshe? Because God didn't show up until after the third day, right? According to Rabbi Yossi, God was ready on the 6th of Sivan, but Moshe said, I think we need an extra day. And so God waited. Okay. That's very, very cool, by the way. But let's just relate this back to what we said before, which was my claim that there is like deliberate obstruction going on in the story. That if we look back in the story, we saw Moshe goes up and down and he goes up and down. And then they say, be ready for the third day, because on the third day, right? And still the rabbis debate, what does it mean on the third day? Is it that there were 2 days of preparation and then the third day? Or does it mean that there were 3 days of preparation and then it's really the fourth day, but it was the third full day after the third full day of preparation, right? The rabbis are reading this story and they're saying there are some things that we know. And yet, there are still some things that it feels like we don't know. There are still question marks, right? They actually managed to agree about everything else, about how many days the introductory process took, the negotiations between Moshe and God, right? That's something that I thought was unclear also. Chacham and Rabbi Yossi agree about that, but they still managed to agree about something. So how do we paskin? We paskin like the Chachamim given. But what we do is we keep
Frozen again.
Yes, yes, we realize, of course. Okay.
Jace, just send you the handout.
Oh, hi, Benny. How are you? Okay, we're not quite finished, but okay, you may start sooner than you think. We'll see. Okay, hopefully.
You tell me when to start.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no. Our speaker before, who is frozen out, she'll finish up in a couple minutes. She'll come back, and then we'll get started. Benny, Akron, Akron, Chavi, Benny. Okay.
I believe I froze again. So let's do the last.
Yeah,
let's
you
do
did.
The last.
Yep.
Again,
yeah, yeah.
Okay?
Right. You froze again, and let's, yeah. Hopefully.
Last idea.
Last idea.
The last idea is, why don't we know when Shavuot is? Again, we know when Shavuot is. We keep it every year. Now I want to look at that Rashi that we skipped. Look at source number 4. Rashi says, why does the Pasuk say this strange thing, Bayom Hazeh? Why does it say on this day, on that day, the Jewish people came to Midbar Sinai? Why doesn't it tell us the date? And Rashi has a beautiful idea. He says, Rosh Chodesh, it was Rosh Chodesh, but he says, Lo haya tzarif lichtov ela bayom hahu, ma'u bayom hazeh. Why doesn't it say it was that day? Why does it say hazeh? Sheyu divrei Torah chadashim alecha ki'ilu hayom nitznu. That every day we should feel like the Torah was given to us that day. Okay? Now, what does that mean? So it could be very technical that Torah should feel new to us every day. Okay? When we learn Torah, it should feel exciting. I love that idea. But there's something even better than that. There is a danger to having too much certainty when it comes to Torah. There's a danger in having so much certainty that I know exactly when the Torah was given. I know exactly every detail of it. And I'm going to commemorate a moment that's frozen in time. Shavuot is about us saying, I think that this is the day God gave the Torah, but you know what? It wouldn't even matter if it wasn't. Because what if Rabbi Yossi was right and the Torah was given on the seventh day? Well, the first thing is that that would mean that you and Chutz La'aretz are the only people celebrating Shavuot on the right day, right? The upside is maybe the second day of Shavuos is actually the real day. But really, it doesn't matter. Because really, the idea is that we celebrate the day that we committed to God and God committed to us. And we said, we want to learn your Torah. And it doesn't really matter. As crazy as it is. And I think that that's what's going on. The Torah is trying to hint to us that you can figure out the day the Torah was given. But bottom line, it doesn't really make a difference. What matters is our commitment to Torah. What matters is our living the Torah every single day. The date on the calendar is not what's important. Thank you so much to everybody who joined. And have a Chag Shavuot Sameach.